In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Greetings. When I was 16 years old, my family drove the long journey from Georgia, where we lived, to Texas for the big Boswell family reunion. There were cousins there that I had never seen before and have never seen since, but they were all there for that 1 week. We had a big campground that we rented, I guess, and there were, the lodges and cabins and screened-in porches and fishing and swimming and all the other stuff you're supposed to do to have fun when you're at a family reunion. And really, from that week, the only thing I remember clearly is one night we slept outside by the lake. This was at Lake Whitney in Texas. And I was just lying there on the beach and looking up at the stars. And there must have been a million of them. And, you know, I don't think I'd ever looked at the sky before, or the stars, when I was a kid. I mean, you know, when you're a kid, you're kind of focused on what's going on around you, and you're not out after dark all that much. And when you are, you're playing hide and seek. And you just never notice things like that. But that night, I remember noticing. And there's a sense of awe that comes with looking at stars that sometimes you grow out of as an adult. But I got this lifelong love for science and astronomy and spacey kinds of stuff. But what was most important was that I was totally impressed at how big everything is. And it's only gotten infinitier as you get older. And you know, looking at the sky, it was no wonder that astronomy was the first science that developed back in the days before light pollution. Long ago, people were impressed by the stars, and they began paying very close attention to them. But actually, it wasn't just the sense of awe that caused them to look at the stars. It was a practical necessity. Most of the early civilizations grew up along major rivers, the Euphrates and the Nile, and they didn't have a climate like we do, where we got spring and you know, summer and autumn and winter and snow and rain and so on, they pretty much had even weather throughout the year. What they depended on was the flood. At a certain time every year, those rivers would flood, it would fertilize their fields, and they would store the water in little reservoirs to water the fields through the year. And they really needed to know, when are those floods going to happen? And it didn't depend on the weather, because they didn't have weather. The floods all depended on the weather that was in countries hundreds of miles away. They had no idea where the floods came from or how to predict them or anything. But they noticed pretty early on that the stars lined up with the floods. It was an annual thing every year. And the stars gave them a way to predict when those floods would happen so they'd be ready. And that's how astronomy started. And that was really the beginning of science. They were the first scientists. And this was like, what, 2000 BC or earlier. And so they developed the calendar. That was the first technological, brilliant creation. Because they needed one. They needed a calendar. And it was a marvel of accuracy. And not as good as ours, but, you know, still, it was a great thing. And it spread throughout the civilized world. Everybody used that calendar that they had developed. And that means that the story of the wise men really begins back in Genesis. In fact, it's Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." And the Babylonians got to be really expert at reading those signs. God had given those signs to us to help us out, to show us the way, to help us understand the world that we live in and to live in it. But he didn't give that to Israel. When Israel was being formed as a nation, God gave them their own calendar. And he told them to look at the moon. They measured everything by the phases of the moon. The new moon was the beginning of a new month, and they did everything by the months, and it was a terrible calendar. It didn't work. It's 12 and some pesky little fraction of months in a year, and their calendar was always off. It was always a little bit wrong. And every two or three years, you know how we like have to add a leap day during leap years. 2016 is going to be one of those leap years, and we'll have to make February a little bit longer to make the calendar come out right. They had to add a leap month, an entire month, because their calendar was so out of alignment with the seasons that every 3 years, they had to throw in an extra month. Their year was 13 months long. And they had to do that just to make it, you know, come out even. It was a terrible calendar. But God didn't want them to use the stars. Now, that means that that star over the stable in Bethlehem, that was not a sign to the Jews. They didn't look at the stars. They didn't care about the stars. It was the wise men over in Babylon who had a 2,000-year history of studying the stars. They're the ones that looked. They're the ones that noticed. They're the ones that read the star. And they were 700 miles away. That's like from here to Chicago. They saw the star from Chicago. Now, the shepherds out in the fields over in Norfolk, they saw the same star. Of course they did. And the scribes and Pharisees at the temple there in Potsdam, they saw the same star. They just didn't care. Stars didn't mean anything to them. They didn't know how to read them. So that star wasn't a sign to Israel. It was a sign to everybody else that the Son of God had been born. Now, the reason, I think, that God gave them such a terrible calendar was he didn't want them to use the stars. He wanted to keep their eyes focused on what was going on around them. He gave them an agricultural calendar instead of an astronomical one. And for good reasons, the people who looked at the stars all the time, pretty soon they started worshiping the stars. The Babylonians worshiped the sun and the moon, all the different stars and everything they could get their hands on, actually. But Israel, God really wanted to keep them from worshiping the works of their hands. He wanted to keep them from worshiping things just because they work. So, the wise men saw it. They saw the star. And the Jews saw it, but they didn't care. What the Jews had instead were other signs that God gave to his people. He gave them the prophets, and that's why when the wise men arrived at Jerusalem, the prophets, you know, the scribes who had studied the prophets, they could say, oh yeah, it's over in Bethlehem, that's where you want to go. They knew all about it, but not from the star. And when the shepherds were out abiding in their fields by night, and this bright star comes, it was just a nuisance to them. It was disturbing their sleep, confusing the sheep. What got their attention were angels. Now, you know, the shepherds just didn't care about the stars. They'd never learned to read them. And the wise men would not have cared for angels. They wouldn't have understood them at all. Angels are scary. Just read every account of angels. People are terrified when they come. Now, we have learned, we have followed in the tradition of the Babylonians, we've learned to read the stars and to read nature very well. We really know how to read nature, and nature is great for a sign. You shouldn't ever despise science because it's a gift of God. You know, it tells us all these things. Psalm 19, verse 1, which I better look up because I'll misquote it. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Science works just as well and better now than it ever did for the Babylonians. We shouldn't despise it, but we've got our own signs that tell us things. We've got the Bible, the prophets, the law. We've got Jesus who came as one of us to be a sign for us. We've got the bread and the wine. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us who actually will speak to us if we ask him, if we listen. We've got all of these signs. We've even got angels, which we don't see very often. At least I haven't seen one recently. But there's angels around, and God has given us all these signs to speak to us, to tell us how to live. Science tells us certain kinds of things, and our signs tell us other kinds of things. Science can tell us that our soil is selenium deficient, and then it will tell us what selenium is. And it will show us how to make compasses so that we can find our way in the woods. But the signs that we've got don't tell us about selenium deficiency in our soil. They tell us about compassion deficiency in our soul. They don't give us a compass to get us out of the woods. It gives us a compass to tell us what the right thing to do is. how to be righteous people. It's a moral compass. Science doesn't give a moral compass. I'm setting this up, I hope you notice, I'm setting this up as a sermon about the difference between science on the one hand and faith. Science is the star, following the star. And faith is listening to the angels in the Christmas story picture here. And I have always felt that there was no real conflict between science and faith. Just like there was no conflict between following a star and following the angel. The point is, they both lead to the same place. The star was given so that the wise men, the very first scientists, would get to Bethlehem. And the angels came and spoke to the shepherds to get them to go to Bethlehem. It's where you end up. It's where the signs lead you that's important. It's not which sign you particularly care for. The conflict has been set up in our culture as one of science and faith, but there isn't any conflict. What God wants is for you to follow the light. Whatever light you know how to see, He wants you to follow it, and He wants you to get to Bethlehem. The purpose of all the signs, every one of them, whether it's science or faith or anything that He's given us, the purpose is for us to get to know Him. That's the purpose. And anything else that happens as a result of those signs was a bad use of the signs. We can make a lot of mistakes about the star and the angels, about science and faith. For one thing, it's very easy, considering how much science has worked. Science is great. It has done all these things. It's given us fast cars so we can just drive around as fast as we want. And airplanes and spaceships and all this kind of stuff. And we are people who tend to worship the works of our own hands. We tend to worship things that work. And so we can easily get confused and think that the star is better than angels. That's what we do when we preach sermons about the wise men that try to explain away what the star was that they saw. Which one did they see? What coincidence of astronomical events were they looking at that told them that Jesus was being born in a stable? Now, I don't know what they were looking at. I don't know what they saw. But I do know a little bit about stars, and I can tell you that not a single star that we've ever studied in an astronomy class was what they saw. They saw something different. I don't know what it was, and I don't think it matters what it was, because what matters is where they got to. Or we could think our signs are better and we can make fun of the theory of evolution and waste all of our time being defensive about science. The purpose of science is to be light to people, to get them to come to the same place He wants us to come to. Luke 16:8, Jesus said, "The children of this age are wiser in their own generation than the children of light." Don't waste your time making fun of science. It's a good thing and it's a good gift. The purpose of it all is to get us to Bethlehem. The purpose of a sign is to get you to look at something else. What if people, you're out driving and you see this pretty red sign and it's an octagon and that's just so cute because, you know, I mean, who would have thought to make an octagon and it's got those pretty block letters on it and then boom, you went through a stop sign and you crashed. The purpose of a sign is not to get you to look at the sign. The purpose of a sign is to get you to think about something else than the sign. The star was given to the scientists in Babylon to get them to move over to Bethlehem and look at what was going on. And the angels were the same thing. Those shepherds didn't stand around saying, wow, that angel was really beautiful. No, no, I like the one with the beard. The angels were not there to get the shepherds to look at them. They were to get the shepherds to go to Bethlehem. We waste our time when we look at the signs, when we care about the signs. It doesn't matter if somebody else is following a different sign than you are. What matters is to follow it. Not argue about them, not look at them. That's what we do, see? We do it all the time. We take the book of Revelation and we get all tangled up in the book of Revelation trying to unravel the signs. Find out about the end times. What's going to come next? Is there a rapture? When is it going to happen? It's such a waste of time. It just gets us looking at the signs and not looking at God. And that's what he wants. That's what he gave us the signs for, was to look at him. That's the only purpose he has. The only purpose he has in any sign he ever gives, whether it's a star or an angel or the Holy Spirit or the bread and the wine at the communion service or the Bible, the purpose of a sign is to get close to you and to get your eyes onto him. That's what they're for. There's only one thing that is important, and that is to start going to Bethlehem. So just go. Amen.